Hey, you want that to go?
Sure you do. Takeouts now on stories we want you to stay on top of this week. And at least one story we want to catch you up on. We'll start with politics with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway's Washington correspondent. Todd, we're going to be talking about the embattled Senator Chris Dodd up in Connecticut and New Jersey Governor John Corzine also embattled a little later on in the program. But we wanted to check in with you about the Federal Election Commission report that was released last week, which is kind of an X-ray of the political stakes in the 2010 off-year election. It sort of tells who's got the money, who doesn't have the money, and who the parties have given up on. First of all, what's the headline out of the FEC report?
Well, the headline is that Republicans are raising a lot of money from small donors. You know, Democrats are expecting a tough election, John, in this 2010 midterms coming up. You have a bad economy, jobs are lagging, two wars going on. The Democrats own these things, and that could mean a tough election time for them. You know, Washington looks at polls a lot, as we all know. But, you know, more than the voting polls, the one thing Washington, the Beltway, really watches, the money.
Well, it sort of shows where they're deploying their armies and which races are really, really competitive and which races look to be the competitive races that the parties are staking everything on.
Yeah, so you mentioned Chris Dodd. Let's talk about him real quick. Connecticut Democrat, four-term senator running for re-election. He's got a tough bid. Dodd raised $901,000 in the third quarter. Now, this the FEC, the Federal Election Commission filings came out yesterday just for the third quarter.
It's a reasonable chunk of change.
Yeah, $901,000. Now, his leading Republican opponent, Linda McMahon from World Wrestling, WWE, which is located up there in Connecticut, raised $3.5 million. Now, Dodd has $2 million cash on hand, and McMahon has $1.4 million. So she outraised him by a lot, but he's got more cash on hand. The president was in Philadelphia yesterday raising money for Senator Arlen Specter, who, remember, in the summer switched parties from Republican to Democrat because he realized he could never win the Republican Party, the Republican nomination in Pennsylvania. Switched to the Democratic Party, and the president promised him, Arlen, I'll come campaign for you. Specter raised $1.8 million in a quarter. Pretty good. His top Republican rival raised $1.6 million. That's Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. Now, close. $1.8 million to $1.6 million, neck and neck, right? Arlen Specter's an incumbent. He has $8.7 million in the war chest. Right. Toomey has $1.8 million. So you got to look at the war chest in these things. Let me add one interesting senator for you who's not running this election, John Ensign from Nevada, who raised $301,000 in the second quarter. This quarter three, he raised $33,000.
Wow, that's after
John Ensign's way down. Yeah,
you're seeing the problems. Yeah,
you're seeing the effects of his scandal with members of his staff and payoffs and everything else.
All right, Todd Zwillick, thank you so much. The Rorschach of campaign financing there in the Senate and House of Representatives, the Federal Election Commission filings. Thanks, Todd.
Now let's go to Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen to talk about Monday Night Football. What happened last night between the Denver Broncos and San Diego?
In a really, really close game, it went down to Denver winning 34-23 in San Diego with a raucous San Diego crowd. The things that I wanted to focus on here was the throwback uniforms. I know a lot of folks, a lot of our listeners...
They're going back to
a lot of our listeners only follow a team, or when there's two teams against each other, they pick the one with the nicer uniforms, right? So the Denver
public radio listeners see that.
So the Denver Broncos have been using the throwback uniforms for when the AFL starts. So they're one of the original AFL teams. It's like a mustard and brown tandem, and then they have these white checkered socks. And most people have the face that you have. That's like, ew, these are ugly.
I personally
love the uniforms, and they're 6-0 with those uniforms.
Well, a lot of wild stuff happened in the game last night.
Definitely. There was Broncos' Eddie Royale. He ran back a kickoff and a punt return, both for touchdowns, and he's literally the 11th person ever to do that.
Is it normal for the special teams to come in with 21 points?
That's definitely not normal. No, that's a good point. Yeah. The Chargers also, what's his name, Darian Sproles, he ran back a kickoff for a touchdown. So it was definitely an amazing game for special teams. And they preach special teams in practice. They preach special teams, you know, before games. And special teams usually comes through that way.
So we're in week six of football. Who should we be watching now? We have a number of undefeated teams, do we not?
We do. And if you're, like I said in the beginning of the season, focus on who has the best offensive lines. Last night, the Chargers couldn't defend and they couldn't protect their quarterback. Teams like Minnesota, New Orleans Saints.
Also undefeated. undefeated.
Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos, they're all undefeated. Wow. They all have very good offensive lines and are all able to protect their quarterback and give them time to do wonderful, wonderful things.
What's the surprise on the Denver team? We didn't think that the Denver Broncos were going to be undefeated at this point in the season.
I think the Denver Broncos, the surprise with them is how there was a lot of criticism of their internal workings early before the season. They had a lot of turmoil. The surprise is that they've been able to shut that out and actually get to work. And that's probably the biggest thing. They have all the talent, all the tools, and all the skills. They have a young head coach, and they've been able to, like, sequester themselves and say, hey, let's do this for ourselves and not listen to all that chatter.
So, I come from Detroit, so I know that you can go completely defeated all season long. But when's the last time we had someone win every game?
Oh, that was 1972, the Miami Dolphins. Oh my God, you don't know that? What are you talking about?
I was barely born.
Everyone must know that. No, the 1972 Miami Dolphins had the only perfect season. They went through the perfect season and they won the Super Bowl. The New England Patriots a couple years ago against the Giants, they had a perfect season going into the Super Bowl and then the Giants stunned them in the Super Bowl. That's why some people think it was one of the best Super Bowls ever.
Okay, thanks so much to Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
A lot of New England fans would say the Pats had a perfect season. A lot of Pats fans would say that. Our last takeout comes from you, our listeners. And one of you, I was jealous of this listener, Celeste, who was, quite frankly, mystified by some of our conversation yesterday.
I've been listening to the radio, this report on something about a balloon, something about Colorado. I've been away for a couple of days. I guess I haven't listened to the radio. I don't know what you're talking about.
Something about a balloon?
Yay, Bob. You're totally one of the lucky ones to miss the balloon boy Heaney story of that alleged hoax of floating their 6-year-old son in a weather balloon.
Well, that conversation, that story, sparked a discussion about parenthood and how public some families have become. Elaine told us her parenting story at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
A couple of years ago, I was in line in a fast food restaurant next to a woman with a couple of kids, and one of them, about 8 or 9, was doing karate kicks right next to me, nearly kicked me a couple of times. Finally, I looked at him and I said, "Stop that." And he did. But the mother yelled at me, "How dare you speak to my child?" So here's the question. When parents can't or won't control the behavior of their children in a public place, do the rest of us just have to put up with it?
I think you karate kick back is the advice there. Celeste, have you ever seen a parent spank a child in public?
I have.
Lisa in Oklahoma called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I have a son. He's 26 now, but throughout his time when he was just growing up, I've always had this paddle his behind in the store at school, and it just didn't seem like it was a big deal to me. It kept my son from having to go to the penitentiary.
Thank you, Lisa. You know, a lot of people responded to the parenting discussion that we had yesterday at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org.
We want to hear all of your responses to what you hear on the radio. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.